but you're still running faster than the other guy running with from the bear.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
You just have to make it difficult.
Exactly.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
This is Jeremy from Oral Facial Implant Specialist in Deer Park, Illinois, and you are listening to Help Me with HIPAA podcast.
Thank you for that intro, and welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Good evening,
Donna. I know, isn't that freaky when we have to do that?
Yeah.
But, you know, I am going to be gone.
Yeah, no, I'm a little bit jealous.
Yeah, but only a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. So, yeah, so you get to go out of town and have a good time, and in the meantime, I'm left behind.
Oh, I really don't care.
I know.
Yeah.
So, in today's topic, we're going to be talking about some bad luck breaches. Or is it bad luck breaches?
Breaches? Stay out of?
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. You know, is there such a thing as having bad luck in your breaches?
Mm-hmm. There is.
So, and
to
you know,
some people, we're going to question that. Though.
Yeah. I don't know. You hear that, but is it true?
No. Yeah. Well, it's a string of bad luck.
Yeah. But, you know, can data breaches be due to a string of bad luck or not? That is the question.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right. So don't forget, thehippabootcamp.com is coming up. This is the last one of this year. So you better get tickets and get in. We'll have another one till next year.
Yeah. And no, we don't know yet. Although I'm getting nagged internally and externally to come up with a date. So, you know.
Yep. Somewhere between January and December, we'll have one or two.
We'll have two, maybe. All right. So, yes, November 5th, 6th, and 7th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And in the beautiful Tucker, Georgia, the HIPAA Boot Camp. For more information, it is well worth your time and money.
Yep, it will be an entertaining time of drowning in HIPAA.
Yeah, and believe it or not, in the end, you'll be like, that really wasn't so bad at all.
No, it was fun. I mean, you know, we've had people come back for round two, so they must have enjoyed it.
Yeah, there's lots of people that want to come back again and looking forward to it. So definitely check it out at thehippabootcamp.com. Or if you want to register, you just know you're going to do it and go straight register. You can go to helpmewithhipaa.com/HBC.
Oh, you shorten it up, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to make it easy. I can't remember everything.
All right. Well, then you got a lot of places you can go to get to it.
Go get to it.
Go get to it. All right. So before we get into these bad love breaches, let's hear a word from today's sponsors. Did you know that 83% of healthcare organizations report a strong negative impact to their bottom line after a data breach? So many doctors think that they're HIPAA compliant and have nothing to worry about. Many of those organizations thought the same thing before it happened to them. Call Cardin today at 678-292-5001 so they can assess your practice and help ensure you are protected and prepared. Visit CardinHQ.com to learn more.
Cybercrime is a multi-billion dollar industry and growing. How confident are you that your computer network can withstand a cyber attack? Can you afford to take the chance that what you have today will protect you? Call us and find out if the cybersecurity in your business is something you should be concerned about, or if you can rest easy knowing your business is protected. Visit us online at securityfirstit.com. That's securityfirstit.com. And schedule a time to talk.
All right, we're back. Ready to get into some bad luck?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah. I mean, this whole thing started because I saw somewhere that you know, an article about, you know, talk about some bad luck and with this particular group. And it reminded me of growing up, you know, as we've mentioned several times, I'm a hick from the sticks.
Growing up on the farm.
Yeah. And, you know, that real world of 1970s growing up on a farm kid, that's me. And we would watch Hee-Haw.
Loved Hee-Haw.
I don't know. I mean, it's that rural, you know, humor. And it was just like, finally, somebody's saying something we understand.
It's like Saturday Night Live for us hick folk.
Yeah. That's right. Hee-Haw is Saturday Night Live for rural America. There you go. But at least in the 70s. But there was a skit that was on there, and there's a link to it because, you know, but they would have this song that would, you know, they would intermit with it, these stories of bad luck that were just ridiculous and funny and jokes. Everything was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But it was gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. So, if it weren't, and so in my family, when somebody whined about something, somebody was going to say that. Somebody was going to sing it or go, if it weren't for bad luck, you'd have no luck at all or something to just basically say, shut up. And so then that, you know, reminded me of that, stuck in my head. But you and I have already been singing other Hee-Haw songs. So. And for those of you that have never had the time to watch quality television like Hee-Haw, I think it's like on reruns on RFD channel or something. I don't know, but, and I do watch the RFD channel.
It was a classic, man. You know, you had Minnie Pearl and, all these people running around keeping their tags on their clothes. Dude, she did that way back in the day.
I know, right?
This ain't a hip hop thing.
Yeah. It was just always something. And you know, it was corny humor, or as they call it now, folksy, because that's what they said we are, folksy.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of corny because they were often in the cornfield. In the cornfield.
So, but we digress.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what we're going to talk about is Tennessee, which also made this seem appropriate because Hee-Haw was filmed in Tennessee. I'm just saying. Right out of Nashville. Yep. But it is a live hospice,
okay,
which is actually in the area. You could pick up this story at a variety of different places, but we're going to start. We're going to begin at the beginning.
It's a good place to start.
I don't know. Sometimes we start in the middle and then go, wait, we better back up.
I have to say, though, I probably shouldn't even say this, but I really thought that you were joking with the name of the place.
I know, right? Because that alone bothers me. But I
I was like, anyway. Really? I mean, is this an oxymoron or somebody playing a bad joke? I mean, okay.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I can't answer that question. And I started to go down that path. No.
Okay, yeah.
So anyway, a live hospice is a provider in the Nashville, Tennessee area, and I kid you not about any of that. Deep, dark depression and excessive misery. But they, way back in July 2018, okay, so that seems like a long time ago because it was, but that is the beginning of this story.
Okay.
And they tell a story in July 2018 of how basically, they had an investigation into a problem that they thought wasn't a breach, but then it turned up that it maybe was a breach. And then, so it kind of goes in a bit of a loop.
All right.
And we're, you know, as always, you're left to read between the lines with a lot of these, but we're going to try not to. But it says on or around, that's always interesting when you say that, on or around December 20th, 2017, and April 5th, 2018, a live hospice experienced email phishing events that affected employee account. an employee account.
Okay.
That's always, you know, it's always happens when you have phishing failure in December and April, you decide nothing happened.
Yeah.
So we didn't think anything went wrong. That they did an investigation, they found no problems.
Okay.
And then they even went so far as to say that when that happened, they took steps to change the user's password on both occasions in an abundance of caution.
Now, they're making this sound like it's one user.
Yeah. Well, hang on.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I got to hear the story.
You got to get in any breach announcement, the phrase abundance of caution has to be in there at least once.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, you got to be doing more than the minimum, right?
Yeah. So I think it was two users and they changed the user's passwords each time. But, you know, I don't know about you, but most people even then would have turned. Well, in fact, I know somebody was going through a breach at that time, had a phishing breach and turned on 2FA, but I'm not going to go there.
All right.
Anyway, in an abundance of caution, because one must have that.
In a minimum caution to proceed.
Yeah, because you need to show you didn't do the minimum. Although, we can tie that statement into a later discussion about doing the minimum. We'll get back to that.
All right.
Okay. So, you know, right away you got a lot of questions. Was it the same user that fell for it twice and you changed their password? Was it two different users? What about their investigation into the incident? How did you think that nothing happened? You know, why would you, you know, and if you got hit with two different phishing attacks, but you thought everything was okay and you changed the user's password, what are you saying? Mm-hmm. Right? There's a lot of questions left there.
Because I looked on the dark web and I didn't see no information.
But the plot thickens.
Oh, okay.
We need the dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can read their July 2018. This is how it starts. It tells you what had happened was because they say that nothing went wrong with those two previous incidents.
Okay.
I'm sure. But in May, they were doing a quote review of their email system and found a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, they brought in a forensics team who discovered unauthorized actors, or actor, we don't know, was found on two accounts. Ironically, one began December 20th, 2017, and the other April 5th, 2018.
Was that on or about?
I know, right? But that, I mean, those ironically coincide with the phishing dates where nothing was wrong and they changed the passwords.
Okay.
But not only did they have nothing wrong, but they had 1,868 patients that were notified in July 2018 about this unauthorized activity in the email accounts. Because the patient information was in there.
I wonder how they would go from everything was okay to now we having some forensics done. That's a big jump.
Well, there's the review of email. So we don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you know, it's not hard. You know they didn't have appropriate technical staff that really understood phishing attacks under HIPAA when they dealt with those other two.
Mm-hmm.
Or they wouldn't have dealt with the second one.
Right.
You know, and they would have done a proper investigation. So you know they didn't have proper, at least if they didn't have the skills themselves, they didn't bring in proper advice on dealing with it.
Okay.
You know, because you discover it months later after you think that everything, all you got to do is change your password after a phishing attack. Now, that's, you know, that's very wrong. And when you have a breach, you usually do a lot of things. You're going to tighten up your program, right? Because you also know that OCR is coming in.
Right, yeah.
And sure enough, this 1,800 patient, you know, thing, it's listed on the OCR breach protocol, breach portal, as, you know, it's listed as still under investigation. And, you know, I would not be surprised to see that. I would fully expect that.
Okay.
right? Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, there's no way you could say this is bad luck. Okay?
Okay.
We're not going to say that's bad luck.
I'm not going to say it. I'm saying this is a failure to do something.
Yeah. You put gas under your, and, you know, get moving. This should be the, you know, but no.
Yeah. December 20th might have been bad luck, maybe.
Yeah.
April 5th, no.
No. And then not finding it until May, no.
No.
Having the patients in there, no.
No, that's bad business, not bad luck.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you would think at this point, you know, because I do actually work with groups that have been in this scenario. And boy, does everything change after this. They bring us in. And, you know, unfortunately, we have almost equal numbers of those who bring us in after something happened and those who bring us in right before something happened, or they're nervous, you know. But, yes, we're aware of these things, and we usually see things buttoning up.
Okay.
Now we get to 2019.
Oh, there's more. Yeah. They had some bad luck, didn't they?
Yeah, it continues. Gloom, despair, and agony is yet to actually arrive.
Oh.
Yeah. Because in 2019, they're still dealing with the investigation, right? Mm-hmm. So in July 2019, they do another press release. And it starts, you know you're headed down a very sad path when the first words are on or around May 6th, 2019, you know, and I know this has got to be horrible for them, but at the same time, we have the advantage of being able to look at it from the outside and also the advantage of looking at others from the inside and knowing when this happened. But I joke with people that, you know, I've had this happen. Anyway, right away, you're told they aren't even certain on what day it happened, which is never a good sign, especially after the previous two. Because, you know, you start the clock, all that kind of stuff. And make note that this announcement made just before a holiday, at the very end of the day. You can go to the website, the news site, and it's done on July 3rd at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're spending a lot of effort on trying to make these announcements go under the radar. I wish they would spend effort similarly in other areas. But, and they did the same thing, you know, the July 13th. 2018 announcement was released at 10 p.m. on a Friday.
Okay.
So, the 2018 one. So then they do the 2019 one. It's on the day before a holiday at 10 p.m. Also on the OCR breach portal, you will find this additional breach with 608 patients. It's also under investigation. An employee's email account was accessed by an unauthorized individual from May 4th until May 6th, 2019, and it had 608 patients in it. So
why do they still have PHI in their email accounts after
twice?
Why
do they not have 2FA?
Well, yeah, but
I mean, right there, problem solved.
True. There's so many like bad things here.
Mm-hmm.
Like
security,
no process by which to try to remove the PHI out of the email, which still don't understand why it's even there. But okay, whatever. All right, go ahead.
It's that whole misconception or misperception. I don't know which one would be proper in this one, but just because your email's encrypted doesn't mean everything's okay.
So, I mean, did they do anything from the first two to this one?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it appears not.
Well,
it's a year later, almost to the day.
Is that what abundance of caution looks like?
I'm not. I don't know how to respond to that. I just do not know. But here's the thing. That's not the end of it.
Oh, God.
Now comes the gloom, despair, and agony, and deep, dark depression and excessive misery. And seriously, this, that if you go to so much trouble to make sure you're doing your press releases at the, you know, the right time to keep them under the radar, which, by the way, kept them under my radar a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you just need to make sure you have a breach within 60 days of a federal holiday.
Yeah. Well, then, so that came out on July 3rd.
Okay.
They make that announcement that they had the May issue.
All right.
So now we got another 608 patients, and they're like, seriously, 600? Couldn't it be 408?
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. So all it does is it kind of what we have to infer that there were no true security controls put in place to better lock down their email following. You know, how many times, even back then, we were talking about you've got to do 2FA or multi-factor authentication or whatever you want to call it or whatever your people call it. You need to have, if you're going to put PHI in your email, you have to have multi-factor authentication, period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, it's not perfect. All of the cyber nerds, no, it's not perfect. But you're still running faster than the other guy running with from the bear.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
You just have to make it difficult.
Exactly. You know, they'll move on. They'll move on. I got the lights on, you know, spotlight everywhere. Move on down the screen.
Yeah, don't have your door open and, you know.
All right. So here's where it gets really bad. Because at this point, you know, we would call this snake bit. They just snake bit. And I do not know where that one came from. It's just one I've known most of my life. You just snake bit. Do you know that one?
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, it's when things just keep going wrong. You snake bit. So they make another press release on September 6th at 11 p.m.
Oh, so not long ago.
No, right around, oh, I don't know.
Labor Day.
It's the Friday of the Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
Seriously. You know, that we're being that good at our press releases is concerning. Well, obviously, the people that are in charge of the security are not as attuned to the details as the people in charge of releasing the releases.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. So, note to self, holiday season's coming up. Pay attention in November and December. Every Friday and the Wednesday before, you just might as well watch PR Newswire. All right. So, these announcements come out, but this one's completely different. And I think this one is really going to be the bad thing when it comes to their OCR investigation.
Okay.
Okay. Because what happened this time, and I swear to you, I had to read it a couple of times to make sure I truly understood what this announcement that started with on or about July 9th. Okay. Now, I'm just going to have to go with this as is so that you can understand how many layers this is of serious problems. Alive learned that an error occurred in the address export process for the mailing of the 608, which resulted in the notification letters being addressed to the incorrect recipient. Alive Hospice immediately took steps to correct the address error and mailed a corrected letter to all recipients of the July 3rd mailing. This subsequent notice included a statement explaining the issue with the prior mailing. The notification letters mailed on the 3rd. Now, here's the part. I really had to read a lot. Did not include any reference to treatment through Alive, nor did they make reference to protected health or patient information. The letters included the incorrect recipient's name and referenced Alive Hospice as the entity making the notification.
Wait a minute now. So they created a breach to notify about the breach.
They say it's not one. This is where this one, you know, we have so many questions on the previous ones, but this one is so many other layers because what it sounds like. Now, first of all, you only have 608 patients, mm-hmm. So you got to wonder how they went about this. But apparently, there was an export process.
Okay.
To create the name of, you know, your mail merge thing.
Right.
And the export put, like, David Sims's name with my address and my name with somebody else's address.
Mm-hmm.
So at my house, I get a letter notifying David Sims of a live hospice breach.
Okay.
Now, I know that David Sims is dealing with a live hospice.
Right.
And they're saying this is not PHI.
Who's they?
A live hospice.
Well, of course they would say that.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying is like, I mean, you're... you know, maybe if this was like the only breach that had occurred and this happened, you can make that argument. But when the other things are happening and you're being so specific with when you're doing your mailings mm-hmm. and your announcements, yet you're not that specific in protecting the information and making sure you're sending it the right way, and then realizing whether or not it's PHI, which we go through that all the time. You know, mm-hmm. is this PHI or not? But if I have to look at it and say, look, is David Sims in the hospice care or is somebody related to David Sims in hospice care? That tells me something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like I don't know anything about your treatment. I don't know the reason you're in hospice care. But I know what hospice care is. I have your address, and I can show up there. And by the way, if I'm not necessarily a nice, friendly person, as I clearly am, I could use that somehow against you because I look up where David Sims does live. I get your information, and I call you with some great deal on something. Or
life insurance.
I know, right? Or, you know... It's, I mean, there's just so many things. Life insurance.
So they had what, 3-4 breaches in 2 years? Less than 2 years?
So, yeah. On or around 2 years. So December 20th, 2017. There was a phishing incident that may or may not have been involved with an unauthorized access to the account. That's not really clear, but one must assume. Then they had April 5th, but then they found in May 2018, they notified in July 2018. Then they had another one in May 2019. They notified in July. And then they're claiming that the thing that happened in September is not a breach, but they're having to tell you that they didn't have a breach, but they did have a problem.
It's a problem notification.
I know. So they get a letter. So they get one letter telling them there's a breach, and then they have another letter that, oh, by the way, we sent this to somebody else.
Wow. Yeah. That makes my head spin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is gloom, despair, and agony when you figure that out. I feel so bad for the person that figured that out. They may still be unable to really recover from that shocking moment. Because, you know, when you figure these things out and you just, you know, you grab the trash can because you may yak. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you didn't figure it out right after a big lunch, because, I mean, this stuff is super stressful. And like I said, we're able to look at it from the outside, but I know personally how stressful it is to be someone dealing with hospice care, whether you're a family member or the patient themselves. And just because a patient is in hospice care doesn't mean they're not fully aware of what's going on.
Yep.
Many, many times they are, you know, and for them to get such confusing information. And what if they were in all of the breaches? I mean, it's certainly not impossible for family members to have dealt with that in both rounds. So this is the part where when people ask, why is this important? This is why it's important. This should not have happened to those families.
No, I mean, they're dealing with their loved one in hospice care, and now they have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm. And whether anything, you know, you can say nothing bad happened. My business been spewed out somewhere. I don't even know where it went.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're telling me my stuff got mailed to somebody else, but you're not telling me who it got mailed to.
Right.
And you don't even know where it went when it was sucked out of the email account. Because I can assure you, having personally reviewed investigations of forensics on these things, it's like a matter of seconds. That entire account is downloaded and sent somewhere.
It went on or about into cyberspace.
On or about some criminal, because people don't fish just to see if you'll fall for it most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We do, but that does not involve unauthorized access to your email.
True.
So this is not a game they're playing by any means. They intend to get this information. So to have it happen in this way, in this manner, so many times, and then have another letter sent out saying, oh, by the way, we hit you twice, but we didn't really hit you twice. I don't know. You know?
I mean, I have a feeling that you're going to see it again from this place. I mean, it sounds like they're not doing anything, and I'm speculating, obviously, but it sounds like they're not really doing anything to solve the issues.
No, but I can assure you, they were already under investigation, and then they had to report a second breach, and then they had to report this. OCR's done playing games. You know, they're going to, if they just do a technical advisory on this, then clearly they're not going to worry about enforcing things. So we can watch. Now, granted, it could be 2 years from now before we hear anything.
Yep.
So there's no way for us to know. But if we never hear any enforcement on this, you know, I keep, you know, telling people, I'll worry about, the 1.5 million and this, you know, 10 million here. I'm like, you don't need to worry about OCR. That's not your biggest concern. The state's attorney general, the lawsuits from your patients, the reputational damage, the suck of the time, because, yeah, you got to report it to OCR, but if you don't report it to them, the other folks are going to get you even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing you can hope is that you're following things properly so the other things don't get you, because it's not OCR that's really ending up being the enforcement or the big cost of this.
Right.
Thank you for agreeing.
That's just a bunch of bad luck right there.
I know. Is this a string of bad luck?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I certainly know plenty of times that things go wrong. And I understand that things go wrong. But there was really there are so many questions I have about why things weren't handled differently. And we may never be able to answer them unless we, you know, whatever we can read in a settlement or if somebody comes out and really explains it at some point, you know, which is helpful to get others to understand, you know, here's how things went horribly awry for us. Don't do it either.
Yeah, I wish there was more of that, but unfortunately there's not.
Yeah, we're getting to see on the cybersecurity side when it involves the IT companies and the software companies, we do get to see a little bit more, but not with the providers.
No.
No, it's kept close to the chest, so to speak, unless it's the software company or IT company that does it.
Yeah, it's true.
So, but needless to say, I did not say this would be poo-pooed, just like my family would poo-poo me. Oh, it's just bad luck. I just had bad luck. That's why I broke that car. I broke it when I ran into that tree.
Yep.
Yeah. I wasn't busy doing something else when I run down the side of that ditch. And that was a friend of mine. He was driving my car. It was a long story, but let's just say kudzu can connect to your car and fly down the back of it. And you don't notice it in the dark in the country. So you get up next morning and somebody says, why you got kudzu all the way down the side of your car?
I don't know.
It just happened.
On or about 8 o'clock last night.
Yeah, and you know it wasn't 8 o'clock if that was happening. Yeah,
there was a bad actor driving my car.
There was a bad actor. Yeah, and he's the guy that's always hanging out with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. My best friend and I got in a lot of trouble. I do miss him horribly because we did lose him way too early.
He breached the kudzu patch.
And he would, that whole thing about just start telling stories. Yeah, sometime I'll just make a podcast of me just telling true stories, things that happened in my life.
True stories from the cornfield. We'll get Jack Reciter's music.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. It's great.
True stories from the dark side of the cornfield.
That would scare some people.
It would, wouldn't it?
Ooh, there we go. Maybe that's what we do for Halloween. We got it coming up soon. We have to decide what we're going to cut.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see if we can get Jack to open it for us.
Yeah, he'll do it. All right.
Well, that is our show for today, folks. We thank you for listening. We hope that you don't have any bad luck going into this holiday season. But if you do, make sure you report at 11:59.
10 o'clock.
on a Friday night. So make sure you head on over to your favorite social media site and rate us on our podcasting app. Let other people know we are out there. For Donna and myself, don't forget, HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.